Welcome to our deep dive, and today we're going to be looking at something kind of surprising.
Yeah.
The connection between weeds and pollinators in Swedish farmland. Now, you might be thinking, weeds? Really? But trust me.
Right.
This is a fascinating journey.
Yeah.
And we're going to be exploring how these often overlooked plants are actually secret heroes for pollinators.
It's true. And this study is so cool because it's based on 15 years of citizen science observations.
That's amazing.
Revealing just how important weeds are for the balance of the ecosystem.
Yeah, we're talking about over 45,000 data points.
Wow.
On pollinator activity and weed flowering.
That's a lot of data.
It is a treasure trove of information.
Yeah.
And the researchers looked at a wide range of pollinators.
Yeah.
Everything from social bees like honeybees and bumblebees to those busy solitary bees.
Uh-huh.
Even hoverflies.
Right. And they found that each of those groups has its own sort of unique
life
schedule and preferences when it comes to flowers.
And it's interesting, too, because they didn't just count weeds.
Right.
They created what's called a pollinator index.
Yeah.
So giving each weed species a score.
Uh-huh.
Based on how much pollinators love it.
You could think of it almost like a restaurant rating for bees.
I love that.
This index helps us understand which weeds are the real superstars when it comes to providing food.
So not all weeds are created equal.
Right.
We're talking about 24 specific weed species.
Yes.
That are particularly beneficial.
Yeah, and these weed species are really incredibly diverse in their life cycles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you've got some that are winter annuals.
Okay.
Germinating in autumn.
Uh-huh.
Then you've got summer annuals sprouting in spring.
Okay.
And then this fascinating group called germination generalists
mm-hmm.
that can actually germinate in both seasons.
Wow.
So that means that they have a much longer flowering period.
So it's like an all-you-can-eat buffet for pollinators.
Exactly. Right? It's like a constant source of food.
I love it. And the study found that the timing of farming practices,
yes,
like sowing and harvesting,
uh-huh,
actually impacted weed flowering.
It did.
For instance, autumn-sown crops provided an earlier source of flowers for social bees.
Right.
And early flying solitary bees.
It's like this carefully choreographed dance between the farming practices mm-hmm. and the natural world.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
so interconnected.
Yeah.
Farmers can actually influence the availability of food
wow.
for these essential creatures.
Just by changing when they plant and harvest.
Exactly.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it is.
What about those late bloomers, though?
Yeah.
What about the hoverflies?
Yeah, they have a later flight season.
Uh-huh.
And the study found that harvesting can sometimes remove those late blooming weeds.
Oh, no.
Right when hoverflies need them most.
That's a problem.
And that could leave them with a gap in their food supply.
Right when they need it.
Right.
To build up their energy for winter.
It highlights how we need to consider all the different types of pollinators when we're thinking about how we manage the land.
Right. It can't just be all about honeybees.
Exactly.
We need to make sure that there's a variety of flowers available
throughout the whole growing season
to support all those different pollinator types.
Absolutely.
So this study found something pretty curious.
Oh, yeah.
A dip in social bee activity in May.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
Is it something about May?
It doesn't seem to be a lack of food.
Mm-hmm.
It's more likely due to a shift in foraging behavior.
Oh, okay.
Early in the season, it's mostly the queen bees doing the foraging.
Right.
But as the colony grows, the worker bees take over.
Uh-huh.
And that shift might make it look like there are fewer bees.
Oh, I see.
Even though the overall number of bees is actually increasing.
So it's not a June gap.
Right.
Like we see in other places.
Exactly.
Where there's actually a shortage of flowers.
Right.
This is more about who's doing the work.
Yes.
Within the bee colony itself.
Exactly. So it's not really a decline. But let's get to the heart of it.
Okay.
Why should we care about weeds flowering in Swedish farmland?
Well, because this study reveals that those often maligned weeds
right.
are actually offering a consistent source of nectar and pollen
what?
For most pollinators throughout their flight season.
And that's important.
It's incredibly important.
Especially as landscapes change.
Yes.
And natural habitats become fragmented.
It's like these weeds are stepping up
yeah.
to fill the gaps
yes.
left by disappearing meadows and wildflower patches.
So they're becoming unsung heroes.
They are.
Providing this lifeline
yeah.
for pollinators in a world that's increasingly dominated by us.
By human activity.
Yeah.
Exactly. And by understanding these relationships,
yeah.
we can make smarter choices about how we manage landscapes.
So both agricultural and urban landscapes.
Yeah.
Now, this is just the beginning of our deep dive.
Okay.
In the next part, we're going to delve deeper into the specific types of bees and hoverflies, as well as the characteristics of those superstar weed species.
Sounds good. So welcome back to our deep dive into the world of pollinators and weeds.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things that really stood out to me in this study was the variety of pollinators they included.
Oh, absolutely.
It wasn't just, you know, a quick look at honeybees.
Right.
We're talking about a whole symphony
of
buzzing and flitting creatures.
That's true.
And each with their own role to play
in
this fascinating ecosystem.
And as we talked about earlier, each of these pollinator groups.
Yeah.
The social bees, those solitary bees hitting the scene early in the year, the summer flying solitary bees, and the hoverflies, they all have different flight periods.
Yes, they do.
And therefore different needs when it comes to finding their floral feasts.
I need to know where to go to get their food.
Okay, so let's break down those groups a bit further.
Okay.
What can we learn from this study?
Yeah.
About those specific types of pollinators and how they interact with these so-called pollinator-friendly weeds.
Well, the social bees, like honeybees and bumblebees,
you
know, they're known for having the longest flight periods.
Okay.
They're out and about from early spring all the way to late summer.
That's a long time.
It is a long time.
Wow.
Which means that they need a reliable source of nectar and pollen.
Yeah.
All throughout that time.
They're busy.
They are the busy bees of the pollinator world.
Right. You can see why they would rely on that steady buffet of flowers.
Exactly.
And that's where the weeds come in.
They do.
Offering that consistent source of food, especially those germination generalists with their extended flowering periods.
Like a never-ending buffet.
Right. An all-you-can-eat buffet.
Yeah.
And if we think back to what the study showed,
the
timing of farming practices, like when crops are sown and harvested, actually influences when those weeds flower.
So something as simple as choosing to plant a crop in autumn versus spring could have a big impact on how much food is available.
For those social bees.
For those social bees.
Yeah.
It's almost like a domino effect, isn't it?
It is.
One small decision by a farmer can ripple out to affect that whole ecosystem.
The whole ecosystem.
In sometimes unexpected ways.
Absolutely. Now, those early flying solitary bees, they're a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
They have a much shorter flight period, mainly concentrated in early spring.
Right.
And the study actually found that they weren't quite as well supported by the flowering weeds as their social bee counterparts.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
If those weeds are really catering to the longer-lived bees.
Right.
Later in the season.
And the hoverflies.
And the hoverflies.
Yeah.
So it really is all about timing.
Timing is everything.
Right.
But the study did note that this trend of moving toward more autumn-sown crops in Sweden.
Oh, interesting.
Might actually be a good thing for these early bees.
Okay.
Because those crops tend to have more weed biomass that flowers earlier in the season.
So it gives them
providing them
that early food.
That early feast
that they need to get going.
Yeah.
So almost like an unintentional positive consequence of changing agricultural practices.
It just shows you that even small shifts can have ripple effects.
Throughout the system.
Throughout the ecosystem.
Okay, so we've got our early solitary bees.
Right.
Now, what about those summer-flying solitary bees?
Well, they tend to emerge later in the season.
Okay.
And their flight periods actually overlap quite nicely with the peak flowering time for a lot of those weed species.
It's like it's timed perfectly.
It's like they know
when
to come out.
When the buffet's open.
Exactly. And then we have the hoverflies.
The hoverflies.
Which often get overlooked in these pollinator studies.
They're important, though.
They are incredibly important for pollination.
Uh-huh.
But their flight season is even later
than
most bees.
Wow.
Extending into the autumn.
So when a lot of the other pollinators are kind of done.
They're winding down for the year.
Winding down.
Yes.
And as we talked about earlier.
Right.
Harvesting can create a problem for these late bloomers.
It can.
Because often that removes those late season weeds.
Yeah.
Just when they need them the most.
When the hoverflies need them.
Right.
To build up those energy reserves.
For the winter.
Exactly.
So this really highlights the importance of looking at the whole picture.
The whole picture?
When we think about land management.
Yeah, we can't just focus on one group.
Right.
Like honeybees.
Right. We need to make sure that there's that diversity of flowers.
That's right.
Available throughout the season.
The whole growing season.
Yeah.
So that we can support
All of them.
The full spectrum.
Yes.
Of pollinator needs.
It's about that balance.
Yes.
And that thriving ecosystem.
Absolutely.
With all of them can get what they need.
To survive and flourish.
To thrive.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked about these pollinator groups in general, but
Correct.
This study actually looked at 54 individual pollinator species.
Wow.
And 24 weed species.
That's a lot.
What were some of the standouts? Anything particularly interesting about certain species?
Oh, absolutely. There are some real gems in this data.
Okay, tell me.
Well, for example, they found that the honeybee, Apis mellifera,
right,
had the longest recorded flight period.
Really?
138 days.
Wow. That's incredible.
Almost half the year.
Talk about dedication.
I know, right?
What about those solitary bees with the much shorter lifespan?
Yeah, they have a very different strategy.
Right.
Several solitary bee species in the genus Andrena had flight periods of less than 25 days.
So short.
I know. It's amazing. They really have to make the most of their time.
They do.
It must be a whirlwind.
I know. It makes you wonder how they fit it all in.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've talked about some of the bees.
Uh-huh.
What about the weeds?
Yeah.
Any favorites among those 24 species they studied?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Okay.
One that really stood out was Lamium purpureum.
Okay.
Also known as red dead nettle.
Okay.
It's a germination generalist.
Uh-huh.
And it had the longest flowering period of all the weeds they studied.
Wow. How long?
Well over 4 months in some cases.
Wow. So you could have a patch of those vibrant purple flowers.
Yeah.
Just bustling with bees.
I know.
From spring all the way into summer.
Yeah. Just imagine it.
Amazing.
Yeah. It's like a beacon for pollinators.
Right. Just that reliable source of food.
For months and months.
And then on the other end of the spectrum.
Right.
We have.
Well, there's Barbaria vulgaris or yellow rocket.
Okay.
It's a perennial.
Uh-huh.
But it had the shortest flowering period.
How short?
Only about 29 days.
Wow. So much variation.
I know, right?
Even among the weeds.
And that's important because that diversity ensures that there's always something blooming.
Exactly.
So there's a continuous source of food for pollinators.
Throughout the season.
Throughout the growing season.
Yeah. So if we connect all of this back to the bigger picture.
Yeah.
What does this study tell us about the future of pollinators, especially in these agricultural landscapes?
Well, I think it gives us some hope.
Okay.
Because it shows that even in areas that are really intensely farmed, there's still potential to support these creatures.
So it's not a lost cause.
Not at all.
We just need to think differently.
Yeah. And more creatively about how we manage these landscapes.
And maybe incorporate some of those beneficial weed species to our farming practices.
Yeah, it's about recognizing that they're not just pests.
Right.
They're valuable.
And they can actually play a positive role.
In supporting that web of life.
Yeah, it's about moving beyond that.
That kind of black and white crop versus pest kind of thing.
Embracing that complexity.
Yeah.
That we see.
In nature.
In nature, yeah.
And it raises another point.
Okay.
While this study focused on Sweden,
The
same ideas probably apply in other regions.
That's a good point.
Pollinators need food.
Right.
And plants need pollinators, no matter where they are.
It's a global issue.
It is.
So for our listeners today, what's the takeaway message?
Look beyond the label.
Okay.
Appreciate the interconnectedness of all living things.
And that even those humble plants.
Even the weeds.
Can be heroes.
They can be.
In their own way.
And understanding those connections can help us to make better choices.
About how we interact.
The natural world.
And it's about opening our eyes to that beauty
and complexity
that surrounds us,
even in unexpected places.
So we've learned that weeds can be heroes. Science can happen in our own backyards.
Absolutely.
And there's always more to discover.
If we're willing to look.
If we're willing to look closer.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
We'll see you next time for another fascinating exploration
of the natural world.
Of the natural world.